the Georgia Sea Islands, and these people, they were Africans that became African Americans and stayed isolated to the extent that they were able to preserve this dialect. And so Frankie and Doug Quimby are the two of the Georgia Sea Island singers that are here, and they are going to present this highly interesting and very unique material for your enjoyment. So hang on just a second for the sound check, and then we'll give them a proper introduction. Speaking of which, if you see people there, we've got two volunteers here at this stage. They wear light green badges, and they work without pay, over 100 of them each year, and they are some of the most important frontline and behind-the-scenes troops before and during and after the weekend. They come from all over the state and give their time and their skills so that this festival can run as smoothly as it does. So why don't we give them a hand? Remember to appreciate them whenever you see those light green badges.
And that's what we have been trying to do, get here from Georgia. We were yesterday, Tony and I sung, we just came from Washington, D.C. We were doing a concert for National Geographic there in Washington, D.C. So it's just good to be home here in our neighboring state of Florida. We are the Georgia Sea Island Singers, and we do live off the coast of Georgia on the Atlantic Ocean. It's a string of islands strung along the Atlantic Ocean. They are called sea islands. In the states of Florida, Georgia, South, and the Outer Banks of North Carolina, there's a very unique language that's being spoken today in those areas. Years ago, the language and the people were called Geechies, but today the language is called Gullah. But the people that speaks this language along the coast of Florida, Georgia, South, and the Outer Banks of North Carolina still being called Geechee Gullah speaking people. Let me hear you say that. Geechee Gullah speaking people. All right, you are a good audience. Now, to begin this part, we got three more in the car that would be on the next session. But being seaport towns up and down that Atlantic Ocean, ships come in to be loaded and unloaded. During slavery, the slave owners would get the money for the men working because, remember, they owned them. But after freedom, they were supposed to pay the black men for working. But the captain of the ships did not want to pay them. They would tell those men when they would come into port, if you load this ship for me today, I will pay you tomorrow. And after those men have done the work on the ships, the captains would get in their ship, sail out without paying them. Those men were free at that time, but they were still afraid to say, like you would say today in this generation, look, man, I'm not going to work for you if you don't pay me. But being very creative and intelligent, they got together and they created this song. And they would sing it while they were doing the work, hoping that the captain of the ship would hear them singing while they were working and realize that they were singing because they wanted to be paid for working. The song that they created and sung was, "Pay Me My Money Down." Now, that's just as plain as you can get it. It's a call and response song, as well as the sea shanty, as well as a work song. Tony's going to do the call, and I need you to do the response along with me. The other two are coming up now. They're not dressed because we told them that they would have to sing until later, but they're going to have to sing with those clothes on, along with you. Now, Tony's going to be doing the call, and Tony's going to sing,
"Pay me. Pay me."
And your response, audience, will be,
"Pay me my money down.
Then Tony will say,
pay me or go to jail.
And our response audience is what? Pay me my money down. All right, are you ready to sing it? All right.
Pay me, pay me.
Come on. Pay me my money down.
Pay me or go to jail.
Pay me my money down.
Now you owe me, you pay me.
Pay me my money down.
Pay me a Mr. Stevie Door.
Pay me my money down.
Now if I were the boss man's son.
Pay me my money down.
I wouldn't have come to work until work was done.
Pay me my money down.
Now you owe me, you pay me.
Pay me my money down.
Pay me or go to jail.
Pay me my money down.
Now if I were the boss man's son.
Pay me my money down.
Oh, I would have stayed in the house and drunk the rum.
Pay me my money down.
Now you owe.
Sang that song on the mainland, like in Florida, but on the islands, like in Florida, on Amelia Island, in Georgia, on St. Simon's Island, Jekyll Island, Sea Island, in Glenn County, where we live today, in South Carolina, Hilton Head Island, and the Outer Banks of North Carolina. You see, those areas were isolated. Those people did not get a chance to come to the mainland very often to hear English spoken, because in those days, they had to come by boats or by ferries. They didn't have bridges like we have today to go back and forth to the islands. So if they spoke in the Geechee or Gullah language, then they also sung in that language. We are going to demonstrate that same song for you in that beautiful Geechee or Gullah language. Now, while singing it in that language, you are going to hear us say, Now, the reason why those black men would do that, you see, years ago, they did not have machinery like we have today in this generation for loading heavy objects on or off the ship. So if something was very heavy, they knew how to make their work a lot easier. They would tie a long rope around whatever was heavy that they were trying to pull on or off the ship. They all would get together and pull on the rope. And by whatever they were trying to move being heavy, when they would pull, they would say what? And it seemed like whatever they were moving would move a lot easier. I try to tell the children today in school that they did not create this who in this generation. Our ancestors were doing that 200 years ago. And you men, do you remember years ago when your great-grandfathers were trying to cut wood by hand for cooking their food or heating their houses, and those men would try to get that axe down to that wood by hand? They would say, and it seemed like that axe would go down into that wood a lot easier. Same song, same words, listen, in that beautiful Geechee Gullah language.
Amy, you owe me. Pay me my money down. Pay me your guns down.
Pay me my money down.
If I were in the ball mission, pay me my money down. Then I'll drink good rum.
Pay me my money down.
Tell her you're in the Jack B. Yo. Pay me my money down. My be a sherry day.
Pay me my money down.
If I were in the ball mission, pay me my money down. I'm going to break with done.
Pay me my money down. The Gullah language is a mixture of the African dialect and English with the British influence, where in Louisiana, Creole is a mixture of the African dialect and English with what? All right, you know your history. That's right, with French. Now, in the Gullah language, we speak differently than you do. In that song, Pay Me My Money Down, you would say, pay me my money what? Now, but in the Gullah language, we don't say, pay me my money now. We would say, pay me my money down, like someone is falling down. Down means now in the Geechee Gullah language. Now, where you would say, I am going out into the yard, in Gullah, we do not say yard. In Gullah, we say...
Yeah.
Let me hear you say, yeah. I am going out into the...
Yeah.
The dog is in the...
Yeah.
In the yeah. That's right. Now, where you would say, oh, there's a fire over there. In Gullah, we say, there's a fire over there. Let me hear you say fire. Okay, there's a... over there. And another word that we use where you would go home and you say, oh, I'm so tired. In the Gullah language, we would get home and say, oh, I'm so tired. That's the way it's spoken. And we are very proud of that language. That language is our identity there on that slave coast on the Atlantic Ocean. Now, we speak a lot in the past tense where you would say, I am going to break this. In Gullah, we would say, I gotta broke them. And where you would say, I am going to leave here, we would say, I gotta left young. Now, Tony, if you got that, let me hold it while Tony get ready to do ham bone for you. Would you like to hear a story in English and then in Gullah? Okay, and then Tony's going to do some ham bone for you. We're coming back at 1 o'clock, and we'll be able to do a whole full program. But I just wanted you to hear and get the basics of the language, and then Tony's going to demonstrate a game for you. Now, this game was created because years ago, when being seaport towns, as I said before, and those men would go out to work on the shrimp boats and the different boats to get seafood, and when they are out on the boats, they cannot go out if the weather is bad. And so this was a story about how this young man was sitting on the dock and he was looking sad. And his friend walked up and asked him what was wrong with him. He was looking sad. Now, the generation today, these teenagers wouldn't say he was looking sad. They would say he was looking like he had a case of it, you know. So that's what my grandchildren would say, he had a case of it. Now, the story in English, I'm going to read it to you in English, and then I'm going to demonstrate it in the Gullah language. He said, say, Joe. He said, yeah, man. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I am mad. He said, I'm mad with James. He said, well, what are you mad about? What did James do to you? He said, he asked me to loan him a dollar. He said, he asked you to loan him a dollar, and that made you mad? He said, yeah, man, he knows I'm broke. Remember, in Gullah, I said, he would say what? I'm broke. He said, he knows I'm broke. He knows I don't have any money in my pocket. He knows that the clutch is gone in the boat and my wife is home pregnant and the northeast wind is blowing and I can't go out and catch any shrimp. He made me so mad I could break his neck. That's in English. Listen at it in Gullah. Say, Joe, he said, yeah, man, what been for wrong with you? He said, I've been mad. What you mad about? He said, I've been mad with that gym. Mad with James, what James do you to make you so mad? He said, yeah, he said, you don't need a dollar. Not he, but the alphabet E. We'll talk about dog, cat, male, female. We'll say E, the alphabet E. He said, the loan E a dollar, and that made you mad? He said, yeah, man. He said, he know I been broke. I don't got no money in my pocket. He know that the clutch is gone in the boat and the wife is home in a dollar custody. That means she's home pregnant. But in Gullah, that's a bad word. You don't say pregnant. You say she's home because she broke her leg, or she's home because she swallowed a pumpkin seed, but never pregnant. She's home in a delicate state in the northeast wind. She's a blow. You see, the northeast wind blow. The men can't go out and catch any seafood in those boats. But ladies, you notice, they didn't, when they say anything go wrong, they say she. The Northeast wind, she's a blow. You notice, anything go wrong, says Eve time, they blame us, you know. And I can't go out and catch no swim. See, in the Gullah language, they take the R out of shrimp and they say swim. Or they'll put an S on it and say swims. And I can't go out and catch no swim. And he acts like the loony a dollar. Make us so mad I could broke he neck. Okay, I'm going to read it all the way through. Say, Joe, he said, yeah, man, what been for wrong with you? He said, I've been mad. What you mad about? I've been mad about that James. Mad with James, what did James do to you to make you so mad? He acts like the loony a dollar. And that made you mad? He said, yeah, man. He knew I ain't been break. I don't got no money in my pocket. He know that the clutch is going in the boat and the wife is talking a dollar could stay in the noise he's going she to blow. And he accepted the law. He a dollar. I could make isomatic a broke neck. That's in Gullah. We supposed to have, we don't have about 5 more minutes. Tony's going to do ham bone for you. Ham bone was created because when they would kill hogs, okay, 8 minutes, okay. Tony, you can manage 8 minutes?
Yes.
Because he can stretch it out to 30. ham bone was created on the plantation because when they would kill hogs, they wouldn't give them any of the good parts of the meat, and they would cut all the meat off of a ham bone. And they would take that bone, the person they would give that bone to would cut it up and share it with the others all around the plantation, helping each other to survive. That's why the famous line is in our generation today, ham bone, where have you been? The coded answer is all around the world and back again. They were saying it had been shared all around that plantation. Now, Tony's going to do some of it for you, and the next set, we'll do the whole ritual that he does with all the drums and everything.
The reason why the drums, during that time, this drum is called a talking drum. And this drum, it has rope all around it, and whenever they want to say anything to one another from one plantation to the other, what they would do is tap out messages one to another on this drum. Long while I squeeze it, it'll stay right there. But as I release it, it'll change the tune of it. And they took the djembe drum away from them because this djembe drum is the drum that they made music by. So that's the reason why they began to use their bodies, their mouths, and all over in order to make music. And my dad did the ham bone pad on Nickelodeon television, and I would demonstrate that ham bone pad for you. Go something like this. Using the body in order to make music.
Is a bass drum, listen. It's empty too.
But there's a different type pat that goes that I'm gonna do for you, and it's the ham bone pat, and it calls it out all at the same time. Ham bone, pat him on the shoulder. Down a pretty girl, show you how to hold her. Santa Claus was a good old man. Watch his face in the frying pan. Comb his hair with the wagon wheel. Died with a toothache in his heel. I hopped up to Miss Lucy's dough. Asked Miss Lucy, would she marry me? She said, I don't care, my papa don't care. First came in was Mr. Snake. Crawled all over that wedding cake. Next came in was Mr. Bug. Threw all over that whiskey jug. Next came in was Mr. Coon. Asking to sing us a wedding tune.
Nowhere, 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 nowh They were saying that Hambone hadn't been anywhere in a coded message just shared all around that plantation, helping each other to survive. Did you notice that when Tony was calling out the Hambone, that's where rapping came from. As I tell the school children today in this generation, those rappers today like Snoop Doggy Dogg and Lil Bow Wow and 50 Cent, can you imagine them names? That they didn't create rapping in this generation. They just took rapping in this generation and blew it out of proportion. Our ancestors were rapping 200 years ago on those plantations. We do have CDs, and we're going to have, Doug is in the car, and we will be doing more Gullah for you at the weekend and doing a lot of more songs and games and dances that our ancestors created 200 years ago on the plantation. We'll be back at 1 o'clock at the Heritage Stage, I think it is. And we'll be on a whole hour, I think, at that time. Thank you. Thank you.